This podcast brought to you by Hope 103.2.
On Hope 103.2, joining us, the producer of the brand new film Ithaca and brother of Julian Assange, Gabriel Shipton. Thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you. Good to be here.
This movie is an incredible one, and that title, I think it's going to cause people to say, what does this mean? What are we looking at here? So what is the meaning of Ithaca?
Well, when my father John has been campaigning around the world to free his son Julian, when he's on the road, there is dark moments when everything seems lost, and he listens to a poem by a Greek poet named Kavalfi, and that poem is called Ithaca, and he listens to a Sean Connery reading of it on YouTube. It's quite good if you listeners want to check it out, but it's like a 19th century motivational poem that talks about the journey rather than the destination. One of the themes in the film is that, it's not about the end goal or where we end up, but it's about going on the journey and taking that first step, whether it's to, free your son from prison or any sort of activism in life.
And it has been a really long journey for your family. It's been over 16 years since Julian founded WikiLeaks and over a decade since he released documents that detailed war crimes in the Middle East. What is the facet of that story, of those years, that you wanted to bring to light in this film?
I think that we wanted to, really show a different side to this story. I mean, usually audiences learn about Julian through the headlines, through news media, and it all comes very much through a very specific perspective. And so with this film, we wanted to show a different side, a side that isn't usually seen, on TV or in the media, a very personal story, an emotional journey about the people closest to Julian. Through them, we learn about Julian. So through the people who love Julian is how we learn about him. So hopefully it's a intimate look at the people at the center of this fight rather than how the audiences usually learn about Julian Assange.
And your dad does say early on in the movie that the media's desire for a narrative about Julian and his experiences is greater than a desire to understand him. Do you agree with that?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I 100% agree with that. And that is one of the integral things about the movie. We trying to change that because, the media is constantly putting out this narrative and this story about Julian. So we're trying to show the real side and how we sort of experience it as Julian's family. Yeah, I totally agree with what John says there.
And there are thousands of people that support your family and the cause to free Julian Assange. As you've met with them at rallies, what are some of the reasons why campaigners are getting behind him so much?
Well, Julian's persecution is sort of emblematic of freedom of communication, freedom of speech, our basic democratic rights of knowing what governments around the world do in our names. So I think that's what really draws people to Julian's cause. I mean, it's not for me and my family, obviously it's very personal, but for the thousands of activists around the world, all the largest press freedom organizations, Amnesty International, Human Rights Watch, people in Parliament, there's 28 parliamentarians in the Friends of Julian Assange group in Australia. They're all drawn to this cause because of what it means to them and what it means to their rights, their democratic rights. Going around and meeting these people and talking to them, that's what we experience, is that people are drawn to this because of, what it means to them. It's not just about Julian's human rights, but it's about their rights as well.
Has the people power had much effect on Julian's case, on his experiences, do you think?
Yes, I think, it affects Julian personally because I don't, without all the support that he gets from around the world, I think it would be a much harder time for him in the maximum security prison at Belmarsh. But personally, all this support from around the world keeps him going and is sort of like an affirmation of all his work and all his efforts over the years.
And right now, I think the hypocrisy of his situation has been exposed a bit, with America and a bunch of other global powers pushing back on war crimes that we're seeing committed by Russia in Ukraine. And yet, there is Julian detained for exposing war crimes that involve mass killings, torture, terrorism. What is your response to that aspect?
Yeah, I think, we often talk about that out of all these exposures, out of all the crimes that Julian and WikiLeaks has exposed, the only person ever been charged is Julian. So we often talk about that and why that exists. Why do the powerful want to hide their crimes, and why do they want to sort of turn the light from themselves, onto the person who has exposed them, which is Julian. In relation to, the war crimes that are going on now, I think all war crimes should be prosecuted. Everyone should be held to account for their crimes, if war crimes have been committed. So, whether it's Russians, whether it's the US or their allies, war crimes are wrong. And I think everybody agrees with that. I don't think anybody around the world can say, one war crime is better than the other. Everyone should be held to account for their, actions, whether it's corruption, war crimes, or any of the other things that Julian exposed.
So at this point then, what do you think the US government's motivation is for not just pardoning Julian and letting this saga just finish and letting him be free?
They're making an example of Julian, basically. They're showing to journalists around the world, whistleblowers around the world, if you expose our secrets, if you expose our crimes, this is what's going to happen to you. So it's in their interest to keep Julian in prison and to keep him being held up as an example. Again, going back to Julian's work, there's a scene in the film where Ai Weiwei, the Chinese activist and artist, says it's the fight that gives Julian's work meaning. If Julian and WikiLeaks was able to publish all this information and the people who he exposed didn't come after him, then I don't think the work would have as much meaning. But because these states are pursuing Julian with such intensity, it just goes to show how afraid that those in power are of being exposed.
And as you've said, his story, his experience doesn't just impact him personally. This is something that has ripple effects for you as a family at a personal level and ramifications right around the world for so many others. What has this last decade, if you can sum it up in a way, what has this last decade been like for you as his brother with your own life to lead, but yet this all-consuming thing in the midst of it as well?
I sort of got involved in this fight to free Julian when he went into prison. Before that, I was, just making films and doing that sort of stuff. But I'm sort of, as Julian's brother, I have this sort of gift in a way, I guess, to be able to reach people, talk about Julian's work, to advocate for Julian and for freedom of speech and democratic rights that other people don't have. So in a way, I'm lucky to be able to talk to you, but also this is what I do full time now. It's sort of consuming. It's all consuming in that sense. But yeah, I just wish Julian was free.
And I think that's the same sentiment shared by his now wife, Stella, who recently got to marry Julian in a ceremony at Belmarsh a couple of weeks ago now. You and your father also got to be there as well. Describe that experience. How was that ceremony played out in front of the prison?
So there was five of us allowed inside the prison, including Stella, Julian's dad, John, Stella's mum and brother, and his two children. So we were inside in the very centre of the prison in a small windowless room where the ceremony took place. It was a moment of, no matter what happens to Julian, there are certain things that can't be stopped. And I think love is one of, 2 weeks ago we showed that, love continues on. It doesn't matter what's happening in people's life, but as long as, love can exist, it's this sort of revolutionary love in a way. So I think to me the moment was really about that and it was really, really special in that sense. But under very, very bad conditions. I mean, Belmarsh Prison is one of the harshest prisons. I mean, it is the harshest, most highest maximum security prison in the UK. So you can imagine that, we have to go through security check after security check. We only had water at the ceremony. There's no food, no anything, just water, on the constant watch by guards. So it was very, very difficult, but I think love is unstoppable even in these situations.
So what gives you hope then for things to change and that things might get better?
I think, all these support groups, all the institutions around the world that are supporting Julian, all the journalists out there that are supporting Julian, that's what keeps me going. If we were doing all this advocacy work then and not getting any response, then there would be no hope. But I think, you know, all the people around the world who are getting behind Julian, that really gives us hope to keep going.
Well, Gabriel, thank you so much for taking time to chat with us today and for the film Ithaca. It is a really beautiful and, I think, important insight into Julian's situation and that of your families as well. So thank you again for your time today.
Thanks for listening. Start your day with Life Words. Subscribe to Hope 1032's free daily email devotional at hope1032.com.au.